podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva again, the editor-in-chief of Medical Education, coming to you this time from the first snowy morning we've had in Vancouver of 2012. Certainly don't get a lot of snow here, but there's a bit of a dusting, and it's good to feel some true winter for once. I'm coming to you today with Chris Huntley on the line. Chris is Communication for Clinical Practice Officer in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Liverpool. And more importantly for our current conversation, he and co-authors have a paper coming out in the March 2012 issue of Medical Education entitled LUCAS, a Theoretically Informed Instrument to Assess Clinical Communication in OSCEs. Chris, thanks for being part of this today.
No problem. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, especially given that I appreciate this is your maiden voyage through Skype, and so you've done, done remarkably well to get this far, so hopefully the technology continues to cooperate for us.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose the necessary starting point is to ask you to tell our listeners what LUCAS means.
LUCAS stands for the Liverpool Undergraduate Communication Assessment Scale, a new instrument that we've created here at Liverpool University.
Right. So the title of your paper alone emphasizes, I think, one of the core points from your paper, which is that you've gone to some effort here to create this scale so that you can assess undergraduates' communication skills, but very deliberately wanted to make sure that the instrument was theoretically informed. And so maybe I could just start by asking you to expound a bit for our listeners about why you thought that was an important step, given that assessment instruments are so commonly quite atheoretical and very practically oriented.
Well, I guess our starting point was, like most assessment processes, it's, we wanted to try and be as fair and equitable as possible. And also, like most medical schools, we now assess clinical communication in OSCEs. So we needed a suitable instrument for assessment that has the sound psychometric properties. Before we actually did create our own scale, we first did a review of currently available instruments. We found that they had some significant limitations. So perhaps most surprisingly, given this, like, kind of contested nature of communication and communication teaching, most actually lacked a theoretical basis, or at least it wasn't explicitly stated in the design of the instrument, along with some other limitations such as poor psychometric properties, or some aspects haven't been investigated, or from the reporting it's hard to tell how adequate it is for use in OSCEs. So that was kind of the spur for us to create our own instrument and to address some of these limitations, basically. So LUCAS was designed to reflect a theory of communication, and in this case that communication is contextually dependent and inherently creative and cannot be fully expressed within a conceptual framework of discrete skills.
And so that actually feeds quite nicely into the thing that came to mind immediately for me as you were discussing that, is I know that your group in Liverpool has spent some time talking about the importance of creativity and trying to make judgments about the strength of one's communication skills, and that in some ways seems antithetical to the notion that you could ever capture communication with a somewhat objective or concise set of specific behaviors or activities. How have you tried to create this assessment instrument with set questions while still taking into account that broader creative-minded notion of communication that you maintain?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's kind of a lot of the other instruments might try and sample, say, discrete skills, but we wanted to move away from that because of how we conceptualize communication, how it's constructed. Our items are, say, a bit more global rather than trying to tap specific discrete skills. For example, rather than have examiners make technical judgments about whether certain predefined skills are displayed by students, we're asking them more to make a judgment about how well a student's communication meets the patient's needs. So in our guidance for them, it explicitly directs them to consider the impact on the patient. Mm-hmm. So rather than more yes, no, is this behavior displayed or is it not, we're basically asking the examiners to use judgment and empathy with the patient when assessing communication.
Right. And so have you found that you need, therefore, to use people with particular training in communication skills or particular clinical experiences, or are the patients themselves better positioned to judge the communication skills as a result of your conceptualization?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, when we came to design of it, it was discussed about whether, say, the patients or in OSCE situation, the simulated patients may be best placed to assess communication. However, there were a couple of things against that. Basically, one is a very practical issue of governance issues in our universities, in that when we're assessing them in an OSCE situation, the assessors have to be university staff. So that was one issue where we couldn't have the simulated patients determining whether a student passed or failed an OSCE.
Mm-hmm.
But also kind of extended beyond that. So like the quality of communication kind of extends beyond customer evaluation effectively to ethical issues such as equity and the requirement to address patients' needs, even when these might differ from their wants. So in this situation, we thought the examiners might be best placed to make these judgments. Obviously, if the examiners have got the clinical background, obviously they're well positioned to make those judgments. Yeah, as you say, about aspects to do with training is something we've yet to look at, but are planning to look at.
Right. These are judgments that individuals are making about OSCE-based performances, given your title. Those things tend to be quite time-constrained and focused on fairly specific activities. I imagine as a result that this scale is fairly quick to fill out?
It is, yeah. It's relatively short, and we had it in mind to keep it relatively short because, as you say, in most OSCEs, the examiners have often very little time to complete a form until the next student comes in, so they've got to complete the form reasonably quickly. And sometimes with global items, you can't make a full decision until towards the end of the OSCE station or assessment period anyway, so it's got to be quite quick to complete to make it effective in an OSCE context.
Yeah. So can you give our listeners a better sense of what the items actually look like? What would some of the questions focus upon?
Well, we do have some kind of standard items at the start to do with greeting and identity check that are kind of basic clinical aspects. But then we have more general global items concerning question prompts and explanations, empathy and responsiveness, clarification and summarizing, and consulting style and organization. So with our assessment scale, we're trying to move how we conceptualize communications. The quality is only loosely related to what can be observed, so it does reflect the perspective of the observer. So therefore, we thought it a bit unrealistic to rate quality on a continuous scale. And so Lucas was designed more to identify problematic rather than excellent communication. So this is how we've come to the scale ratings of competent, borderline, or unacceptable to kind of capture that. So it's more to identify a problematic behavior that might kind of disrupt a clinical relationship rather than excellent communication, because they can take many forms, like effective communication. So we're more looking at aspects that might disrupt a clinical relationship.
Right, which I presume puts you in a better position, arguably, to have some formative impact, where you might be better positioned to give the student some guidance as to how they can continue to get better? Is sort of feedback built in as part of the process in the way that you've used this?
It is, yeah. It's one of the many uses of the scale. It provides students with some feedback and a little bit of a breakdown of feedback. I mean, we didn't want to atomize to specific individual behaviors. So they've kind of got some more global sense of aspects where they might have some strengths and other areas where they might have some weaknesses.
And so I guess the thing that I would imagine everybody would want to know is, what would you say in response to the question of, do you actually get benefit from using this as opposed to using one of the previously existing instruments, or simply just asking a global question of how well did the student communicate? Do you have any evidence or experience that leads you to be able to make a strong argument in favor of using this particular tool?
Well, in the paper we describe the brief review of what we've already discussed. Then we do investigate the reliability and validity of Lucas. That's kind of an initial investigation of its psychometric properties, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, say for reliability, we conducted an inter-rater reliability study, an intra-class correlation coefficient of 0.73, so it indicated acceptable reliability in this instance. So we also investigated aspects of its validity. So as we're asking examiners to make this subjective judgment about how communication has impacted on the patients, our expectation was that examiner ratings should correlate quite highly with simulate patient ratings, and they did do that, so that's one aspect to supporting its validity. And another thing, we did item difficulty analyses, so it can discriminate between student performances. We looked at its factor structure, so it came out with a two-factor structure. We labelled one creative communication and other factor procedural communication.
Right. Can you unpack those things for me a little bit more? I anticipate that your theory, Lisa, got you into this, suggests that that should have been the case. I know your factor analysis was confirmatory rather than exploratory, but what does it mean to communicate creatively versus procedurally?
Well, I guess in terms of when we're looking at the items and how they loaded on the factors, the items that can say loaded on the more procedural factor, say the greeting and introduction and the identity check and things like audibility and clarity of speech, these are almost much more amenable to these skill style training, whereas the other factor, what we've labelled creative communication, almost the meat of the consultation, the investigation, listening to the patient, asking appropriate follow-up questions, and so on and so forth. So that's how items have effectively divided up between the two factors.
Right. Apologize for not looking this up ahead of time, but I can't remember. Did you see that one factor or the other correlated differentially with some of the outcomes that you were using? Were the simulators more drawn to the creative aspects of communication when they gave their judgments, or the procedural, or was it the exact same tool that was used in both instances, the simulators and the assessors?
That is an interesting question. I mean, we haven't checked to see if there's a differential correlation between the two factors, so that's maybe something to look at.
Yeah, I'd just be curious, because I imagine if it's true that there are some aspects of communication that are simply more the skill, the checklist, does the person go through the steps that are expected, versus the broader, more holistic demonstration of real skill in the domain, that I might anticipate that you'd get one factor correlating with some things and the other correlating with other things, and it would be an interesting line of further research.
Yeah, certainly it would be, yeah. I mean, maybe it's one to add to the list.
Yeah, we all have a list that's far too great to ever get to everything, but that's actually likely a good question to end on, actually, is what is on that list for you? What do you want to do with this now moving forward, at least in terms of the most immediate priorities for you with this Lucas scale?
One of the next steps we're looking at is we plan to investigate how examiners are making their judgments. Because we kind of referred to earlier that we've put a bit of responsibility on the examiners here to make that subjective judgment about how well the communication is meeting the patient's needs. So we're going to follow it up and conduct a kind of round of interviews or focus groups about how examiners are reaching these decisions. And, you know, are they maybe reaching the same conclusions with different ideas, or they've got different ideas about what constitutes good communication? So that's one aspect we're looking at, and I guess the other thing we're hoping to do is to look at an examiner training package to see if it can ever improve reliability and achieve a greater consistency and agreement between examiner ratings. Those two are the most immediate on the agenda.
Right. Well, I certainly wish you the best of luck with those things. I would encourage our readers to pick up the paper to find out what you've done to this point, and I presume they can get in touch with you directly if they want more information on the tool itself and how you've actually gone about your training.
Certainly. The Lucas and the descriptors will be available online, so that they will be freely available. So, but also happy to receive emails if anyone's got any questions as well.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time, Chris. I'll just remind our listeners before we hang up on one another that I'm speaking with Chris Huntley about a paper that's going to be published in March 2012, Medical Education, entitled Lucas, a Theoretically Informed Instrument to Assess Clinical Communication in OSCEs. Congratulations again on interesting work, and I look forward to seeing how it evolves.
Thank you.